As I was kind of looking through and praying through the Christmas story, and you can find it a few different places, Matthew, and you can find it in Luke, and there's some other places as well that kind of has bits and pieces, but really just kind of reading through the different accounts of the birth of Jesus and this idea that God would come down in the flesh and be a part of humanity. It's just this very odd concept and yet a beautiful thing that God would choose to do this. You won't find this anywhere else in any other religion, that God would dwell among his people and become like one of his own creation. It's incredible. And I kept coming back to this one person that I feel like sometimes is overlooked, but really needs a lot of respect and that we should talk about even more often. And that is the Virgin Mary, the mother of Jesus. And so that's simply the title of the message today. Just kind of want to talk through a little bit of her story as we look toward Jesus and his birth. So let's pray one more time and ask that the Lord would be with the word this morning. Father, I pray that you would speak through your word today. Open up our eyes, ears, hearts, and minds to receive the word of the Lord. Let it change us, mold us, and shape us into the image of you. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your son, Jesus, that came down to this earth and died on a cross for all of our sin. And where would we be without you, Jesus? We love you. It's your name we pray. Everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Well, there is, I think, one of two kinds of people that might be in this room today. And, you know, we have a lot of people that actually grew up in the Catholic Church and have an extremely high view of Mary. If you grew up Catholic, or if you know anything about the way that they think and operate in their faith, is that Mary is very, very high in regard. And some people will pray to Mary almost as if kind of putting her on the same level as Jesus or God himself, which I think is actually somewhat of an unhealthy thing to do, right? As a Christian, we wouldn't do that necessarily, right? And so, but the problem is on the other side, I think in our Christian traditions, sometimes we kind of ignore Mary and we don't really talk about her enough, I think. It's almost as if she's just this person that kind of was the pass through and we really are just trying to get to Jesus, right? So we don't really talk about her as much, and then we just really want to talk about Jesus. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, Jesus is the Son of God, is the name above every name. And it's because of Jesus that we have life and everything that we have. And so I think it's a good thing to focus on Jesus so much. But I think we might be missing something if we ignore Mary. Listen, here's the deal. She is somebody that we should look up to. She's somebody that we should pay a lot of attention to and look at her life, because she was an incredible woman of God. How do we know this? It says that she had the favor of God. Come on, if somebody has the favor of God on their life, I think that's somebody that we could pay attention to, right? Come on now. And she's called the favored one. She's also called blessed among all women. Come on, ladies, would you like to be called blessed among all women? Like, that means you must be somebody, right? And maybe not somebody by the world standards, but certainly by God's standards. And so just because some people maybe go too far with Mary, and they think maybe even too much of her in a sense, doesn't mean I think that we should swing the pendulum the opposite way and give her no thought or give her not enough respect that she really honestly does deserve. Because if God says that somebody is highly favored and blessed among all women, and he chose her specifically to carry his one and only son, Jesus, man, I think that there's something to learn from this girl. What do y'all think? Come on now. I think we can learn something from the life of Mary. But God really, he chose her specifically. The same way that he chose Abram, said, go into the land I will show you. The same way that he chose Moses at the burning bush. The same way that he chose David when he was anointed with oil to become the king of Israel. The same way that he chose all of the prophets. The same way he chose all of these leaders that we see throughout scripture, men and women of God. It's the same way that he chose Mary. And we'll talk about all these other people, but man, I really think that we need to take some time. And I just kept coming back to Mary, as we're kind of looking, you know, the week before our Christmas service, I felt like the best place that we could start is with Mary today. But think about that God actually chose her out of anybody he could have chosen. Mary was a pretty normal person. If you look at it, she was an average girl by any standard. She was probably about 14 to 16 years old at the time that the angel Gabriel showed up to her. Which I know sometimes a lot of people think that maybe she was a little bit older. No, she was She was about 14, 16 years old. I mean, we don't know exactly how old, but we know that she was kind of a young teenager, really, at the time. And she was probably poor. Most likely she was. And we know this because in Luke chapter 2, we see that her and Joseph are going to offer up a sacrifice to God. And this was a sacrifice that was supposed to be done in Mosaic law. It actually says that they were supposed to bring a lamb, a sheep, for this sacrifice. And but they don't bring that. They actually bring two turtle doves or two pigeons. And what do we know about the Old Testament Mosaic law is that it said that if you were not wealthy enough in order to bring a lamb or a sheep, that you could substitute and bring two turtle doves or two pigeons. And so automatically, we're kind of tipped off there that they weren't very well off. They didn't really have a whole lot. And that's why they bring these two birds instead of a sheep or a lamb. So she lived in Nazareth as well, which is another thing that we can kind of have an idea that they probably weren't super well off. Nazareth, we call it a town, okay? You could barely even call it that. It definitely was not a city. It's barely even a town. It's more like a neighborhood, really, if you will. And it was very, very small, so much so that it was never even mentioned one time in the Old Testament. Not even mentioned. Of all the cities in Israel, of all the cities that God had established in this amazing place in the promised land, it's not even mentioned one time, really. And it was very small. It wasn't even on the map. And Nazareth was about 500 to 1,000 people, okay? And I think just people, it's nice to know kind of the geographic, like what did it look like at the time, okay? 1,000 people is like tops, okay? They think some people would say, scholars, around 400 to 600-ish people. And the houses were all stacked on top of each other. It was not a large landmass or area. In fact, it was less than 10 acres. Some of y'all got 10 acres, you know, just laying around. You know what I mean? Texas and Oklahoma, people just got land everywhere. Like, oh, I got a ranch that's bigger than that, you know? And it's crazy. You know, it's just a very small, small place. And it was not really looked upon as like a good place to live. It almost would be, some of y'all's neighborhoods are bigger than that. You know what I mean? And you got to think, we live in Plum Creek right over here. I mean, that's much bigger than that. And of course, the houses are a lot more spread out. They were all on top of each other in Nazareth. But it's just crazy to think that this is where Mary and Joseph were, this is where Jesus was and where he grew up. It's just an odd situation. And people didn't really think of Nazareth as a great place. They didn't. In fact, it says that some people despised Nazareth and they despised the people that came from there. In John 1, Nathanael asked this question, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And he's talking about Jesus, right? Like he's asking, what good could come out of this place? This small little kind of blip on the map that no one really cares about, and it's kind of a poor area, and the people that are there, we don't really, you know, care for them too terribly much. How could this Savior come out of this place, or a Messiah, or what is that? How is that even possible? And this was the view of most of the Jews. Most of them did not really like Nazareth. They didn't have a high view of this little town or the people that came from there. So could anything good come from Nazareth? Well, let me tell you, I got two things. Mary and Jesus can come from Nazareth. Come on, we got a couple of great things and great people that came from Nazareth. And I just love that this is where God chooses to start this story, right? Is in this little place called Nazareth that no one really cares about. Because God could have chosen anybody he wanted to, right? He's God. In fact, he could have chosen a princess to carry his son. He could have chosen maybe not a princess, but at least some woman of high stature, maybe a woman that had a little bit more education, or a woman that had a little bit more socioeconomic status, or whatever it might be. But he didn't choose a princess. He chose a poor girl. Why would God do that? Well, we're going to look today, Luke 1, 26, and we'll kind of read through this passage together. If you want to open your Bibles or open your phone, you can get to that. It'll be on the screen for you today as well. We're going to start in Luke 1, verse 26. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. So God chose Mary, and this is what I think. This is why I think God chose Mary. Because God has a habit of choosing the least of these to do the greatest of things. Amen? We see this all throughout Scripture, that God chooses people who are less than, who are passed over for opportunities. I mean, think of David, right? God chose David. All the other brothers, you go down the line, and it's like, no, not this one. Is there any, do you have any other kids? Got any other sons? Oh yeah, he's out there tending to the sheep. David, why don't you come on over here? That one, that's the one I want. And it's the same thing that God does here. He chooses Mary. And it says in 1 Corinthians, Paul writes that God chooses to use the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And it really, Mary by any sense would be a foolish choice. Why would God choose this little poor girl from Nazareth to carry his one and only son? That's a foolish choice by the world's standards, but not by God's standards. Because he wants to make people that think that they know something, he wants to flip it on top of their head and be like, listen, you don't know anything. You don't know how this works. I can use whoever and whenever and whatever I want for my glory. And why would God choose Mary? I think it's because she was shocked that God would even consider her. It says, you gotta read this again. It says that she was troubled, not by his appearance. That would be the first thing. If an angel shows up, I'd be like, ah, there's an angel. It's like, you know, she's not troubled by his appearance. And I don't know how the angel Gabriel showed up. He probably didn't show up in all of his glory, wings flapping. You know what I mean? He probably didn't do that. But he probably showed up as a person. Many times in Scripture, you see that angels will show up and they just look like a person, just like you or me. So we don't know. But it doesn't say that she was troubled by his appearance. Wasn't troubled by anything else. It was actually the words that he said. It was the greeting that he gave her that is what kind of troubled her. And she was saying, she pondered it. She was a very introspective girl, a very introspective woman. She said, what kind of greeting is this? Like, what's happening here? Why, like me, I'm highly favored? I have the favor of God? Are you sure? Is there anybody else in this room? Who are you talking to right now? And she just has this humility about her that's incredible. Listen, I believe God's not looking for the flashiest people. Come on, I believe God is not always looking for the most gifted people. He's not always looking for the most wealthy people, but I think God is looking for people that have two things. People that are humble and people that will be obedient. If you're humble, you're obedient, you're willing to say yes to what God has for you, God can use you, amen? You might think, hey, I don't have a lot to offer God, just like we sang today. I don't got a lot to offer. What could I give God? I'm just a nobody. Well, listen, Mary was a nobody until God made her into somebody. She was a nobody. She would have never been known. She would have just been another girl that lived in Nazareth. No one would ever even know that Nazareth even really existed, was it not for Mary. God turned her into somebody. It wasn't because of how talented she was. It wasn't because of anything else. It was simply because she found favor with God. Because of her humility and because of her obedience to God, God chose her. I believe humility will get you a long way in the kingdom of God. You know what God says about humility is that God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. He opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. Now, if you want to try to be proud and you want to try to elevate yourself into a position, you go ahead and do that. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to let God elevate me. You know what Jesus says? He tells a story. It's a parable about this party that gets thrown. And then he says, if you walk into a party, don't sit at the head of the table right next to the master seat. Because then what happens is somebody else might walk in that is more dignified than you are, has more status than you, and the master will say, hey, listen, can you get up? And you got to go to the end of the table, and you got to sit down there because this person needs this seat. And then you got to get up and walk past everybody else and just be absolutely humiliated as you walk down and go sit at the end of the table. But he said, no, don't do that. He said, sit yourself at the end of the table. And then when the master walks in and he sees you at the end of the table, he'll say, hey, dude, what are you doing all the way at the end of the table? I got your seat saved right here. Why don't you get up and come on over here and sit next to me? And then the opposite will happen. In fact, you'll stand up then, and then you're honored across everybody as you're walking to the head of the table. So you can elevate yourself first, and then God will humble you, or you can humble yourself first, and then God will honor you on the way up, right? And this is what Mary does. She's very humble. She's very obedient. And God elevates her in his timing. Listen, if you want to elevate yourself, go ahead. But I would just rather be faithful. I'd rather be humble. I'd rather be obedient and let God elevate me if and when he chooses to do so. That's how I'm going to live my life. And that's how Mary lived hers. Verse 31, let's keep moving. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Now, if I'm Mary, okay, right now, put yourself in the shoes of a 15-year-old girl that's hearing all of this, okay? I'm not so sure about all this, Angel Gabriel dude. I don't know about all this. This is a huge task. Are you kidding me? This is massive. I'm going to have a son. He's going to be called Jesus. So you're giving me the name. I can't even choose my own name. And I can't even do a gender reveal party because you already done told me. He'll be great. Be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord, the Father David. He's going to, Jake. We're talking about David and Jacob. We're talking about all of our forefathers and everything. Like, this is pretty heavy. This is a big thing that you're dropping. Mary is given not just a task, but really, what is she given right now? She is given her calling. It is hand on a platter given to her. Here is your calling. This is what your life is all about. This is going to be your legacy right here. And this calling is honestly too big for her to handle. I mean, imagine you're 14, 15, 16, and an angel shows up and tells you exactly what your life is going to be like, what you're going to do and all this. It's a massive, massive calling. And she doesn't know what's coming, but we know what's coming for Mary is that her betrothed, almost husband, Joseph, is going to want to divorce her. She's going to have to deal with the scandal of having a baby bump and everybody asking some questions, right? You got this illegitimate son. Herod's going to want to eventually kill her son. Then now she has the job of raising the literal Son of God, as if raising kids wasn't already hard enough. Come on, ladies, somebody say amen. It's already difficult. And now I have to raise the Son of God? Like, what in the world? This is crazy. And then eventually she's going to have to deal with this son of hers growing up and then being brutally murdered on a cross and having to deal with all the heartbreak and emotion that goes along with this. She doesn't know any of this is coming. This isn't going to be easy. This calling that she has is truly beyond her. It's an eternal calling, but it is her calling. Amen? Like, this is what God's called her to do. And let me encourage somebody here today that if God calls you to it, he will get you through it. Amen? Like, for you and your calling, whatever that is that God has called you to do in your life, maybe it seems like it's too big. Maybe it seems like the dream that God has given you is out of reach, or maybe it's going to be too much for you. Let me tell you, if God has called you to it, he will get you through it. He's going to give you provision for the thing he has called you to do. And maybe you feel like, hey, I'm not really much of anybody. I don't really have a lot. I don't really have much to offer the world or offer God. Listen, I don't care who you are, where you come from, what your past is. Let me tell you, if the story of Mary can do anything, it could encourage you and encourage me that God can use you and me. Amen? He can use us for whatever he wants, because if God chooses you and if you have found favor with God, oh man, that could take you a long way. The Bible says that Jesus found favor with God and man, which is really cool. Many times that doesn't happen. A lot of times you either find favor with man or you find favor with God, one or the other. If I had to choose one of the two, which one are you choosing? I'm choosing favor with God every single time. Mary didn't really have favor with man. She was just a normal girl, a poor girl, but she found favor with God, and that's why he chose her. Listen, he's not going to give you a calling on your life and then say, all right, good luck, kid. Here's your calling, and have a lot of fun. Good luck with that. I'll see you later. I got to go do some other godly things, okay? He's not going to do that. He's going to help you through every single step of the way. He'll give you everything that you need, but you just got to say yes. You got to be obedient, and that is exactly what Mary does. The first thing she does in verse 34, she says, how will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin, which is a very legitimate question, okay? How is this going to happen? She didn't say no. She didn't say, well, if this happens, how many of y'all remember? This is crazy. She's 15 years old, y'all, and she's not saying, oh, no, not me. Like, there's, no. You got the wrong guy. You got the wrong girl. Remember Moses? That's exactly what he did. When he's at the burning bush, And God says, you're going to go get my people out of slavery. You're going to go to Pharaoh and you're going to say, let my people go. You're going to do this and you're going to do that. And Moses is like, no, I don't think so. I think you got the wrong guy. I can't do that. No, no, no. You've got to choose somebody else. I'm sorry, Lord. You know, this whole burning bush thing, real cool and all, like that looks awesome. I'd love to know how you did that, but I can't. It's not me. I'm not your guy. And Moses was way older than Mary is. Moses had been through some life. He had been in this thing. But how many know sometimes when we get a little bit older, we think we know a little bit more, right? What does God say? He said that we have to have the faith of who? A faith of a child. And now Mary wasn't a little child. Now she was growing up and becoming a woman at the time, but she still had that childlike faith to say yes to God. She still had that, hey, I'm not going to say no, I'm just asking how, right? But then she quickly turns around and says yes to what God has for her. Listen, God and his angels, they don't always have a habit of answering our questions because sometimes when we ask some questions and even God got a little, he's getting a little frustrated at Moses. He gets a little frustrated even at Job sometimes when Job starts asking a whole bunch of questions and he's like, hey, I'm sorry, who are you? Like who put the seas in order? Who put the stars in the sky? Like, do you even know who you are? Do you know who I am right now? God got a little impatient, I feel like, with Job there for a minute. But this angel Gabriel is so patient with Mary as she asks, how is this gonna happen? I just don't understand. She has so much favor with God. In verse 35, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Now this is full of doctrine right here, guys. That is incredible. This is where we get the doctrine of the virgin birth. This is also where we get the doctrine that Jesus is in fact the Son of God. This idea that he's fully man and fully God. God in the flesh, the duality of Jesus. It's incredible. The idea that God would come down to earth and be born of woman the same way that we are born. Why would God ever become like his own creation? You will just not find anything like this in any other religion. And these are central to our faith. This miracle that God would come down in the flesh. And he gives her this practical answer. Hey, this is what it's gonna look like. This is how it's gonna happen. Holy Spirit's gonna come on you. God's gonna do this. He'll be called the Son of God. He gives her a very practical answer. But then he gives an encouragement. And he makes it very personal for her. And I think this is great that God does this for you and for me. He makes things personal and he explains it in a personal way. In verse 36, he says, even Elizabeth, your relative, who is basically Mary's cousin, okay? Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. That's a good word, isn't it? Gabriel makes it personal. He's like, hey, you're asking, how can this be done? All right, cool. What about your cousin Elizabeth, who everyone said she couldn't have a kid? And look at her now. She is very pregnant at 6 months. Come on. I know you done seen her. She's pregnant. And so you think that we couldn't do it in you? Like another translation, it says this. It says that nothing will be impossible for God. Nothing will be impossible for God. How many of y'all know that we serve a God of the impossible? Amen. God can do anything he wants, whatever he wants. And this is what Gabriel is trying to say. He's saying in a very nice way, in a very personal way, but all the miracles, all the stories that you've heard about your forefathers and your nation's past, that listen, God created the heavens and the earth, Mary, right? He breathed life into man. He brought your people out of slavery. He parted the Red Sea and got them into the wilderness. And there was manna from heaven that came down to feed them. There was water that came out of rocks. They went by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. They got to the Jordan River, and your God parted that Jordan River, got them into the promised land, gave them victory over every enemy in the promised land. Set up the nation of Israel, set up everything that you know. All of it has come from God. And even your relative, even your cousin Elizabeth, who everybody said she couldn't get pregnant. Look at her now. So Mary takes the hint, right? She gets it. And she takes this encouragement and she understands, okay, all right. God can do anything he wants. This is what she says. In verse 38. She says, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. And then the angel left her. I think that sometimes we just need to have that kind of a response to God. And when he calls you to something, we're not arguing. We're not wondering how. We're not trying to make our own plans. We're not trying to figure things out. And she asks a question, and the angel Gabriel is kind enough to give her a little bit of a response and say, hey, here's a little bit of what I can tell you. But she says, hey, listen, she goes from how can this be to let it be done, let it be so, very quickly. She's not spending a lot of time arguing. She's not like Moses. She's not like the others. But very quickly, she gives this, I'm your servant, God. Whatever you want me to do, Lord, I'm in. It's like Isaiah, right? Oh, I love it. Here am I. Send me, God. Use me. This is the response of a willing vessel. God can use that, right? God can use that kind of a person. I almost feel like it's like a boss. Like some of the best employees that you could ever have is when a boss comes and says, hey, I got a big job for you, and it's going to be pretty big. And they're like, hey, yeah, boss, whatever you need. Yeah. They don't even know really what it is yet, right? And they're just already saying yes. Well, hey, it's going to require a lot of time. It's going to require a lot of sacrifice. It's going to be pretty big. It's pretty difficult. Yeah, I'm good for it. What do I need to do? And that's the exact same attitude that Mary has here. She says, hey, whatever you have for me, God, I'm in. And she accepted this calling. And it was because of Mary's yes. It was because of her obedience. It's because of her willingness to be used by God that she was able to actually carry the light of the world, our hope, our Savior, the way, the truth, and the life. She was able to carry in her own womb. And so I have a simple response for us today. And like I said, it's a short message, just an encouragement as we're going into this next weekend. So we look toward the Christmas story, we look toward the birth of Jesus, and simply this, when God shows up, how do we respond? When God shows up in your life, when he tells you to do something, when he gives you a task, when he gives you a calling, when he gives you a purpose, when he speaks to your heart, how are we responding to God? Because I think if we can look to Mary for anything, it is for what does it look like when God gives you something that's too big for you? And how do I respond? And Mary gives the perfect response. She says, hey, I'm the Lord's servant. Whatever you want, God, I'm in. She goes on and has a beautiful song that she sings, and this amazing, it just, you can go read it for yourself. I think it's an important thing to go, especially during this season, and read through the Christmas story. If I can encourage you to do something this week as we're leading up to Christmas, and even Lindsay and our family, something that we've done is you can actually read through the book of Luke all through December. We'll read one chapter every evening before the kids go to bed. And it's an amazing thing to do. And as I've been kind of reading through it, and she was reading through the first few chapters, I've been kind of reading through Luke as well, and just reading about Mary, reading about Jesus, it just refocuses your mind, right, on what's important. It refocuses your heart and fixes your eyes on Jesus. And yeah, it's a stressful time for some of us, right? I just prayed for a family earlier that said, this is the hardest time of the year for us because our family is so divided and so separated right now. We just need peace in our family. And maybe that's your story right now. Maybe it's a tough season for you. It's not this amazing season of celebration, but it could be really difficult. Maybe you lost somebody that you love, or I don't know what that looks like for you. Maybe finances are tough and you wanna be able to buy more presents for the kids, and you're just like, I can't really right now. There's all kinds of things that could be difficult for you in your life right now. But I'd encourage you to go back to Matthew, go back to Luke, go back and read the story of Jesus. And man, something about it will recenter your heart on the things that really matter. And it can give you hope for your future, give you hope during this Christmas season. And so when God shows up, how do we respond? I think we need to respond like Mary, give her a little bit more respect. And what I wanna do actually as we end today, it's a simple response as well. I want to pray for Saturday if we can. And this is kind of like, you know, our church here. I'm kind of seeing it as we're looking toward the story of Jesus being born. Let's look to Mary right now and her story, and kind of in the and the birth pains, in a sense, as we're about to look to Jesus next week. But I want us as a church family to look toward Saturday. I'm believing for over 100 people to be saved over the weekend. And I'd ask that you'd pray along with me, that people would find and follow Jesus, that people's lives would be restored, that, I mean, there's going to be people there that they're just there for Christmas cookies and hot chocolate. Honestly, they're there because a friend invited them and they saw there was a petting zoo and they just wanted something fun for the kids, you know? There's going to be a lot of people that are there just for something like that. But what I know about my God is that when you get a group of people together that love Jesus, the Holy Spirit shows up, right? And there might be some people there that came for Christmas cookies, hot chocolate, to take a picture with Santa and to have a petting zoo, but then they're gonna get hit with the power and the presence of God. They're not gonna understand what's going on and they're gonna fall to their knees. They're gonna be weeping and say, God, I don't know what I'm feeling right now, but I gotta give my life to you. Here in this story, there's something powerful. I don't know what this is. We're gonna have people there ready to pray, ready to welcome them into the family, welcome them into the kingdom of God. And so would you stand with me? I just wanna pray for a second. If we can believe all together. And I'd encourage you this week that as Mary was kind of the pathway to bringing Jesus into this world, how can you be the pathway to bring Jesus to somebody else in your life? How can you bring Jesus to a family member or a friend? Who can you invite this next weekend to Christmas at the park? And maybe there is a friend or a family member that you will bring with you. Man, I just want you to think about that person right now. And all together, let's just pray for God to do something miraculous this next week. I'm believing for at least 100 people to be saved. Man, God could do even more than that. We serve a God who could do immeasurably more, what does it say, than we could ask, think, or imagine. And so let's see 200 people, 300 people brought into the kingdom of God this week. Will you believe with me for that? Come on, let's pray. Father, we just welcome your presence. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. We thank you for this Christmas season where we can look to your son, Jesus. The Jesus that you came down to this earth and you lived as one of us and you died this terrible, terrible death on a cross, but it was all for us. It was all for me. It was all for the people that are here, but also for the people that aren't even here yet, God. And Lord, we pray for this next weekend on Saturday that you would draw people to this park, Lord, draw people to this service. And as we worship you, that your presence would convict the hearts of people that are there, that they would recognize that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I need Jesus in my life. All their questions aren't gonna be answered at that moment, the same way that all Mary's questions weren't answered, the same way that even all of our questions right now aren't even answered. But yet, God, that this faith would rise up within them. In the same way that your radical love encountered me and encountered the people in this room at one time, God, I pray that your radical love and the grace of God would wash over hundreds and hundreds of people over the course of this next weekend, and we would be able to welcome many, many new families into the kingdom of God. Lord, I thank you that you would send your son, Jesus, that you so loved the world that you gave, first. And so, God, we just give back to you. We give our lives to you. And just like Mary, Lord, you give us a calling. You give us a task. You, whatever it is that you have for us, God, we're just saying, hey, I'm going to give my life back to you. Here, my God, send me. I am your servant. Let it be done. And so, Lord, I pray a blessing over every family here as they go through this Christmas season, no matter what they're dealing with in their life. Maybe their family situation is tough right now. Maybe finances are tough. I don't know what it looks like, but Lord, I just pray you'd bring peace, comfort, and joy to them throughout this season. God, we love you. We're believing for big things next week, Christmas at the park. God, would you just do a miracle in the name of Jesus? We thank you. In Jesus' name, come on, somebody shout, amen. Come on, let's put our hands together.